Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We are on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. We are. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Chiyah Bar Abba, Amar Biyochanan. We're discussing Yosef Atzadik, and we just ended off saying that he had 10 names. He was named after his. Binyamin had 10 names. Binyamin had 10 sons. And all the 10 sons were named after Yosef. I got it right finally. All 10 sons were named after Yosef. And we said yesterday, apologize for the snafu, the shiur wasn't recorded, but we did say yesterday that many of the names were allusions to the fact that Binyamin knew that Yosef was alive. And we asked, how could that be? How did Binyamin know Yosef was alive? Why was he called the son? Because he was followed up among the nations. I never saw his chuppah. And he's lost. That means he's alive. How did Binyamin know that? So we said, the Yifet Torah says, maybe Yitzchak told him. Yitzchak knew. Yitzchak didn't tell Yaakov, right? Because the reasoning is, if Hashem wanted Yaakov to know, Hashem would tell him himself. Right? Same thing with Rivka. It's an interesting idea. Same thing with Rivka and Yitzchak. Right, why did Rivka tell Yitzchak, I had a nevuah that Yaakov's the good one? The answer is, Hashem wanted Yitzchak to know. Hashem would tell him himself. Since he didn't tell him, he doesn't know. But maybe that reasoning didn't apply to Binyamin. So Binyamin could know that Yosef was really alive, and therefore he named his sons, all his sons are really allusions to Yosef, even knowing that he's alive. Why what? It's very hard. It's very hard to swallow. If Yitzchak knew that his father thinks his son's dead, why don't you just tell him and put him out of his misery? It's very difficult. But the thinking is, if Hashem wanted someone to know, he would tell him himself. So why didn't he tell him? The kasha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Yaakov? Same thing over here. So for whatever reason, I don't know the answer to that question. But why not? Why couldn't Binyamin know? So the answer is Binyamin did know. Binyamin knew he was alive.
There are some of those with a punishment for Yaakov, and then 22 years he was away.
Right, and somehow it was a punishment. So, right. So what does Binyamin didn't do anything wrong? So I couldn't. So Binyamin knew. He felt bad about it. As Rabbi Yashiv says, after you lose somebody, if you know he's alive, and some is basically out of sight, out of mind. If Binyamin didn't have that attitude, every single son is named after his brother. After the third or fourth of it, you stop that. Binyamin didn't stop. Right? All 10 are named after the brother who's out of sight. I understand. After a while, human nature is after a while, certain kind of forgetting that kicked in. But Binyamin didn't have that. Okay.
Yeah, it's only if someone's dead.
Right, it's only if someone's dead. We said that already once. Right, it's only if someone's dead. If someone's not dead, then the pain doesn't go away because it's not dead. Okay. B'shasha amar lo paro lo Yosef. When Paro said to Yosef, "Ubaladecha lo yorim ishes yado," without you, no one's lifting a finger without you, Yosef. You're now the second in command. The only thing different between me and you is I'm the king. No one can move without you, Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amru it's the Ganine Paro. Paro's advisor said, "Eved shelakhu rabo be'esrim kesef," a guy who is sold from his master for $20 to esrim kesef. Tim Shluhu Aleinu, that's who you're going to put the king over us? So one of the Farshim says he singles out the $20 because it could be that maybe Yosef did come from royalty. Maybe he was from a royal stock and he was kidnapped. If that's true, then the ransom would have been a lot more than $20. Right? So he's alluding, it's all he's worth is $20. Nothing that for that him you put him he's for sure an Eved, he's for sure from a slave family, right? Amalahen ginune malchus and irobo. No, I see the trappings of malchus are in him. So amru lo. So they told him im kein heyada shivim blushen. Then he should know the 70 languages. So because that's an indication of royalty. Zabar Gavriel v'limdu shivim blushen. So Gavriel came that night and taught him 70 languages. Lo have kigama. He wasn't able to chap. He couldn't learn it. He couldn't get it. So Hosef lo os achas mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He added to Yosef one name of Hashem. V'limed, and then he was able to learn. Shenemar edus b'Yosef somo b'tzeis el ha'aretz v'tzrayim. And then the next words, sefas lo yadati yeshma. I didn't know the languages. right? He added the name of Hashem, a letter from the name of Hashem, the Hey, to Yosef, and he was able to understand 70 languages. What? He met him in Shechem. He taught him the 70 languages then? No, he met him there. Maybe he told him, he's the one who told him that the brothers are no longer here. They went somewhere else. But Lav Dafka, that he's the one who It was added for a sitkis. It could be the same thing. Shenemar, I said that already. Okay, Ulamachar, call Lishna de Ishtoi, Pyro Bahade, Ahadr Le Ishtoi, Ihubalashan, Ishtoi. Whatever language Pyro said, Yosef could hold his own. But, Balashan Akkodesh lo have. But Pyro couldn't speak Hebrew. Pyro couldn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. Lo have kayyada, my have Omar. He didn't know what Yosef was talking about. So Amale, teach me Lashon HaKodesh. Teach you Lashon Kodesh. I'm sorry. Amalei Igmarei. Igmarei below Gamar. He wasn't able to learn it. He couldn't. Amalei Ishtabali Delo Megalit. Swear to me that you won't reveal that I don't know a language. So Ishtabalo. So he swore to him. Ki Amalei. So later, when Yaakov died, and he said to Pyro, Avi Hishbiani Lemar, my father swore to me. I swore to my father, saying, I won't bury him here, I will bring him back to Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei, Zil Ishal Ishvuech. So it's the power said, I don't care about that. Go get your Shvuah annulled. Not letting you out. Amalei, V'ishtli Nami Adidach. So I should also annul the Shvuah that I made with you, that I won't reveal that you don't know the Lashon HaKodesh. Should I do that too? So even though Par wasn't happy about that, fine, go bury your father like you swore to him. Of course, this doesn't conform to the normal rules of being mater shvuas, because you need the other person's consent. Tosas points out, but we're not talking about the normal rules. It's just Par wasn't holding in Hilchas Sechas Nedarim. The question is, this is a question that I'm not sure how much halachic relevance it has. Is Lashon HaKodesh one of the Shivim Lashons, one of the 70 languages? It's Mashon Ramir, it's not. There are 70 languages besides Lashon HaKodesh. Because Pyro knew all 70 languages. So it's Mashon, Lashon HaKodesh, they're really 71. Which is the same question. Are the B'nai Yisrael from the 70 nations? Or are they outside that number? It's the same idea. Like, the Kedusha is... It's separated. It's a distinct entity. Yeah. Right. We shouldn't be part of the circus. So we're not part of it. Right. There are 70 nations besides. It seems to hear that there are 70 Lashonos besides Lashon HaKodesh. Right. Right.
So you're translating the Torah into 70 languages.
Right.
It's in Hebrew, you're translating
the 70 others. Right. Good. 70 languages. The translated Torah into 70 languages. Right. You're right. So, I don't have any halachic significance. It's just an interesting comment. Okay. Next. Yehuda Maihi. When did Yehuda, we said that Yehuda, first Yosef was Shem Shemayim B'Seser, and Yehuda was Shem Shemayim B'Rabim. For Hezek, yeah. So what if you didn't know Lashon Kodesh?
No,
you didn't know one of the other ones. Uh-huh. Right, so it's mashma that it's 70 besides Lashon Kodesh. Because the reason you need to know all 70 languages is not some holy reason, it's because you have to hear Eidos.
Practical,
you have to hear Kabbal Eidos, and you can't have an interpreter. Right, so you need Aegis from the ADPA, so you need an interpreter. For that reason, you need to know all 70 languages. That strongly implies the Lashon HaKodesh is outside it. Right, okay, very good. So Yehuda Maihi, so we said the Yehuda, yeah. They all knew he was alive. The brothers knew he was alive. They're the ones who sold him. Right, and we all say, Rashi says it, they came back down to Mitzrayim, they're going to find him. So they all knew what his life turned out to be. Nobody thought in a million years he was second in command. That they didn't know.
He knew he got
married. He assumed he got married. He assumed, Mistama, guy gets married. Well, he's a bachelor, should he be a bachelor? So Mistama, he had a chasana. So we didn't go to his chuppah. That story, look, as Avshechta once said, 99% of that story is not in the Torah. We have a tiny glimpse of what happened. Every story is like that. 99% of the story is not there. We have a few psukim. The overwhelming majority of what went on is not there. That's why it's so difficult to know what went on, because it's all not there. You have a few vague phrases of what went on. Mamash, I don't know what went on. Imagine I told you a story about what happened to me yesterday. I told you 1% of it. You have no idea what went on. Same idea.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael al Hayam,
when the Bnei Yisrael, this version of the story nobody knows. This is the unpopular version of what went on. It's Machlokas here, Machlokas Tanoyim.
So the Rameir says, Rameir Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael al Hayam,
when the Bnei Yisrael was standing there by the Yam, so ready to go in, Hayoshvatim Menatzim Zezeh. The Shvatim started fighting with each other. Ze Omer Ni Yoret Chiliyam, I'm jumping in first. Ze Omer Ni Yoret Chiliyam, I'm jumping in first.
Kafat Shifto Shel Binyamin. Binyamin had enough. They're not waiting anymore, and they jumped in. The Yared Liam Tchila, they jumped in first.
Right? We never heard this version before. They don't tell this to the kids. Right? Jumped in first.
Shneamar, how do you know? The pasuk in Tehillim. I believe it's in Tehillim. Yes. It says Sham Binyamin Tzair. There, Binyamin, the youngest one, Rodam
is the ruler. That's a pasuk in Tehillim.
So I'll take we Rodame, don't read it. Rodame, Ella, Raid Yam, went down into the sea. They went down into the sea first. The Hayusara Yehuda, Rogrim Osam. And Yehuda started to stone Binyamin. Shenemar, Sara Yehuda, Rogmasam. Same pasuk. Lafikach, because Binyamin did this, Zacha, Binyamin, Hatzadik. Binyamin, Hatzadik was worthy. The Shevet was worthy. Fenase, Ushpizkin, Ligvura.
They became the host of the Shekhinah. And the Kodesh Kedoshim is in their portion.
Shenamar, like it says, Ubenk Seifav Shachin.
And in between the shoulders I will rest. As Rashi says over there in Parshat Zos HaBracha, the shoulders is the choicest part of the animal. This is the choicest place of where the Shekhinah should rest. Okay, so a few things. First of all, wasn't the Yam Suf wide enough that they could all go in together? Right, the second version we know is nobody wanted to go in, and then Nachshon jumped in. That's what we all know. So then I understand why nobody wanted to. But here, if everybody wants it, so just go in. Why do you have to fight over it? So the Eitz Yosef says that there was a Kabbalah, or they had a Kabbalah, that Hashem wanted somebody to take the first step. One Shevet should go in first. And they were fighting over who it should be. I thought the question is better than the answer. What's going on here? Why was Yehuda stoning them? What's he stoning them for? Because they took the initiative? Like, what is that? Why is that worthy of being stoned? That's a machlokes. If everybody else also wanted to fight over this, then why didn't they stone? Why did only Yehuda stone Binyamin? It's just very difficult.
They knew the
Medrash Ben Nachshon. We all know this Medrash Ben Nachshon. We all know that. But a different thing is the Gemara Numa says. The reason why Binyamin was zochet to the Kodesh Kedoshim had nothing to do with this story. It had to do with, because when they heard that the Mizbeach was split between Binyamin and Yehuda, and a portion of the Mizbeach is in Binyamin and the portion of the Mizbeach is in Yehuda, they were terribly upset. So upset that the Peshevet, that they were cut off a part of the Avoda, and as a reward for being so upset about it, Hashem gave them the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a Gemara in Yuma. Here it says, because they jumped to the Yamsa first, so the Ein Yaakov says it's a Machlokas Tanayim. If you hold that Binyamin jumped in first, then you hold like that Gemara in... If you hold that Binyamin jumped in first, that's the reason that Binyamin got the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because they jumped in first. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda in a minute, who says that Nachshon jumped in first, so then Binyamin did nothing special over here. Then the reason why Binyamin got the Kodesh Kedoshim is because they were upset about the Mizbeach in Yuma. So it's a Machlokas Tanoim, and it fits nicely. Okay. By the way, the Sifri says that the reason why Binyamin got the Kodesh Kedoshim was because they were the only Sheva born in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Sifri says.
Next. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda.
No, look how Chayim Aisa. That's not how it went down. That's not the Maisa. So they're not arguing on Metzias. Each one had a different tradition of what happened. That's not what happened. Here's what happened. Ella ze Amar ain't any Yorid Chila. I'm not going in first. Ze Amar ain't any Yorid Chila. I'm not going in first.
So Kafat's Nachshon Ben Aminadav, the Yorid Layam Tchila.
He went in first.
Shenemar, like it says, Sivavuni b'chachash Ephraim,
the treachery of Ephraim surrounded me,
ubemirma beis Yisrael, and with deceit beis Yisrael, for Yehuda od raid am kel.
They still rule the nation of Hashem. And we have a tradition that they explain, Hoshieni Elakim ki ba'u mayim ad nefesh tavati,
I went up to my nefesh until I was about to drown, bivin mitzula, to have a savior, v'ein mamed, there was nobody, I couldn't stand, al tish tveni, shibolas mayim, don't drown me in the water, v'al tiv l'uni mitzula,
and don't take away my savior, in other words, I should be saved. Question is, so if they're standing there, and Hashem told them to go there. So Taka, why didn't nobody go in? What are they afraid of? Why don't they go in? If it's even to go, so go. They didn't have Taka that Hashem was going to do an ace for them? Is that the pshat? That could be the pshat. They were just scared. That could be. Eitz Yosef says that it was a longus. He says as follows. They thought that the sea would split before they're supposed to enter. Not that they have to do the hishtadlis and we have all these musar varts about you take the first step and you know you try. No, Hashem's going to make them walk into an ocean and then why should it split then? No, it's going to split first. So they're waiting for it to split. That's all. They're standing there waiting. That's what Hashem said. But the pasuk is a very interesting pasuk. You can spend your whole life being mavis, you'll never pick this up. It says in the pasuk that Hashem said, "Hare mismatecha, stretch out your stick, unateyes yadcha al hayab uvikoehu and split it, vayavou bnei Yisrael and the bnei Yisrael will go b'soch hayam in middle of the ocean biyabasha." What does that mean? B'soch hayam biyabasha. So Nachshon said, "No, we're going to get b'soch hayam and then it'll become biyabasha." Everybody's standing there, we're waiting for it to split. And that's what the pasuk says. Then, a few pasukim later, that's pasuk Yud Tezayin, the second pasuk after Shlishi. In pasuk Chav Beis, it says, Vayavo'u b'nei Yisrael, b'soch hayam b'yabasha, and they did it that way, v'hamayim lehem choma miminam u'mismolam. Then, in pasuk Chav Tes, it says, listen to this pasuk. This is the pasuk right before we say, Vayosha Hashem, v'yomahu es Yisrael. Ubnei Yisrael holchu. Now it switches. Bayabasha b'soch hayam. V'hamayim lemcham miminam u'smolam. It's an amazing diyuk. And you can spend your whole life reading those psukim. You don't realize that switch, right? That's exactly what Nachshon picked up on. Does Nachshon read the Torah? Probably not. But it's the idea that Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted you to do the first. Well, they weren't standing there. It could be they were afraid. You don't have to say that. There was a reason why they didn't go in. They misread what Hashem wanted out of them. So they're waiting there. Nachshon said, no, it says Biyabasha. We're going to go in. It says B'soch Hayam, then it's going to be Biyabasha. Then afterwards, once they're already through, it was Biyabasha, B'soch Hayam. That's exactly what Nachshon picked up on, which is why he gets the credit, which is why we have all these Muslim reports about him, which is why he's legendary. Ba'osa Shah, that hour, Hayimosha Mayrech Mitfilah, it's also a famous Gemara. Moshe was davening. Amalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedidai Tivum Bayom. My handiwork is drowning. V'ata Marech Tfilo, or they're going to drown. The Bnei Yisrael. This is talking about the Bnei Yisrael, not the Egyptians. My Jews are V'ata Marech Tfilo. Lefanai. What are you davening now? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take action. You have to know when to daven and when to take action. So Amal Fana Bibonashol, what should I do? Am I supposed to daven? Amalo, no. Dabrel Bnei Yisrael vi sa'u fata harmis matcho and te yesidach. I'm gonna take action. Lafika I saw in the Otros HaTorah, he says the greatest way for a Hatzalah is to do Maisim. Daven is important, take Tehillim is important, it helps, we believe it works, we believe in some koach to that. But even greater than that is to take action. To refer to Gemara. When they're closing in on you, you don't go sit and daven, you take action. Whether it's chesed or Torah, other actions. Listen, there's a special place for tefillah, no question about it. But you got to take action. L'fikach zocha Yehuda l'asas hamshala b'Yisrael. And for this reason, Yehuda was zocha to become the king of Yisrael. Shenemar hoisi Yehuda l'kotcho Yisrael mamshalosav. Ma tam hoisi Yehuda l'kotcho v'Yisrael mamshalosav. Why did that happen? Mishum de hayam ra'av hayanos. Because the sea fled, saw and it fled because of Nachshon, and because of that, Yehuda was zocha to the malchus. Yehuda was zocha to the malchus because of the mice of Tamar. Yehuda was zocha to the malchus because he said to the brothers, let's save Yosef. He's the only one who had the guts to say that. Yehuda said to Yosef, take me instead of Binyamin. All these are reasons that the Tosefta says that Yehuda was zocha to the malchus. What's going on here? Yeah? So the answer is, Yehuda said, the Maisa of Tamar, you don't become the Melech because you did a Maisa of Eira. Even though you said, Tzadka Mimeni, even though you had the guts to say, she's right, in Barabim, that she was right and you were wrong, you don't become the Melech for that. He said to the brothers, let's save Yosef. He says, yeah, but you got him in there to begin with. That's a kapara. And he said to Yosef, take me instead of Binyamin. But he told his father, I'll be the Eravon. I guarantee he'll be safely returned. So why should he be zocha to the malchus for that? He said he made a promise. So what are we left with? Because he jumped in first.
Yes.
The drasha of Ayam Rav Yonos is that they saw what they see. They saw the Aron of Yosef. There was a gigantic B'nai Yisachar about explaining the difference between how you reconcile Hayar Rav Yonos, that he saw the art of Yosef, or because of Yehuda, and I did not understand it. It was a whole long, I'm sure it was beautiful, I wish I could have understood it, because it would have been a great thing to say over, I just didn't understand it. So, not every B'nai Yisachar is so easy to say over and read. Tanya, but there is a B'nai Yisachar about it, if anybody wants to go look it up. Tanya, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, so by the way, now Tanya's a new thing. So before we go on, just one question. So we started off by saying that Yehuda was Shem Shemayim Berabim before Hestia. So now, according to Remeir, and that's why he was zochah to have his whole name full of Hashem. Because Yehuda is Yud Kei Vav Kei plus a Dalet. Why? Because he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim before Hestia. So wait a minute. According to Rav Meir, it wasn't Yehuda at all. It was Binyamin that did that. They jumped in first. So it can't be that Rav Shimon Chasida, who said that line on yesterday's daf, that Rav Meir holds like him. Rav Shimon Chasida, by the way, is not a Tana. He's not a Tana. And according to Rav Meir, it can't be Pshat. Right? Rav Meir said it's Binyamin. Yehuda's not even in the picture. According to Rav Yehuda, who said that it's Yehuda. But wait a minute. That also doesn't make any sense. Because, why not? Because the schar was that he became the melech. That's a schar. Because he jumped in first, he became the melech. So what do you mean? We said that his reward was he has the name of Hashem in his name. Right? So the Bin Chasota answers as follows. That Enochinami, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, there happens to be a machlokas on the schar. How can he argue on a Tana? So the Minchasota says a big chiddush. He says you can argue on a Tana, an Amora can argue on a Tana if it doesn't have any halachic significance. What's the halachic significance of this? What? Yeah. So, right, we had the Ruchayim. So, okay, so they're arguing on a Medrash, on an Agarata? Okay, so they're arguing on a Agarata. Right? That's not the end of the world. That's okay. And so, yeah. Otherwise, it's a very difficult line, because you bring a whole thing to say what Yehuda's shevach was, and it's not what the person who brought the brisa to begin with was for. So you have to figure out why did he say that? He said that Yehuda's name is Hashem's because we brought a whole thing half an omelet. We didn't say a word about that. Okay, so it must be he agrees with Yehuda that it was Yehuda's the one who's the special one. He the argument the schar. Okay, now we went off on a tangent again. Now we're back to the story of the Leviim. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. E'ef Shalom Levi Lamata You can't say that Levi was down in the bottom of the valley in between the two mountains. Shekvar Namar Lamaila, because it says in a different passage they were up on the mountain. V'yav Shalom Lamaila, and you can't say they also were on top of the mountain. Shekvar Namar Lamata, because it says in a different passage they were on the bottom of the mountain, in the valley. We answered this question already. Haketan, how can it be? So we said this already. Ziknei Kahuna V'Levi Lamata, the Zikanim were on the bottom. V'Hashar Lamaila, and everybody else was on top of the mountain. Or, because the Shvatim were split, 12 Ephraim and Manasseh were not separated here. It was only Yosef. So the 12th one is Levi, right? Whenever we have Levi, we take out Ephraim and Manasseh, and whenever we have Ephraim and Manasseh, we include Levi, right? Because there's only one place where we have Levi and Ephraim and Manasseh, and we take out someone else, and that is Parshat Zos HaBracha. Take out Shimon. Levi's there. Shimon's not there. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't bring himself to give Shimon a bracha after what they did. And Ephraim and Manasseh are there also. That's the only place. But normally here, Ephraim and Manasseh are taken out, and Yosef is there, and so is Levi. So, Rabbi Yoshe Omar, no. A similar answer. Kol ha-ro'i l'sharet l'mata. Whoever was ro'i to serve, in other words, any Levi from the age of 20 to 50, that or 30 to 50, whatever age they were ready, right, whatever that was, they were down below. V'hashar l'mayla. All the younger and all the elders, they were up on the mountain. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said a whole different shot, a whole different vart, explaining what happened at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. According to Rabbi, there was nobody on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Nobody. Empty mountains. Where was everybody? Everybody. The entire Klal Yisrael was in the middle of the valley. What's pshat? Eluv Elu Mata. Everybody was on the valley. Hain omdim hafku pneim klape Har Gerizim. The entire nation turned toward Har Gerizim. Upaschu bebracha, and they started off with a bracha. Klape Har Eval. Upaschu beklala. They turned to Har Eval and didn't say they were klalas. Nobody was on the mountains. I my al, but it says al on. So the Gemara says no. Al besamach. Al could also mean next to. The kiddetanya v'nasat al hamareches. Levona Zaka, and you should put on the Mishkan, on the Shulchan, Levona, you put it on? No, you don't put it on. You put it next to. Rabbi Omer, Al Basamach. Al means next to. Ata Omer, Al Basamach. You say it means next to. Oeno El Al Mamash, maybe it means on itself. Kisha Omer, Visakosa Al Ha'oron. It says that you're going to put a Peroches Al Ha'oron? There's no Peroches Al Ha'oron. Havi Omer, Al Basamach. Al sometimes must mean next to. There's no parochas on the Aron, it's next to the front of the Aron. So you see that Al could be next to, so to here. This reconciles, how could you have Levi in two places? They're not in two places. They're all in the valley, and all the nation will just turn toward Har Gerizim or turn toward Har Eval. And the Gemara says, Hafku Pneim Klape Har Gerizim, Upaschu Bebracha. They would start off with a bracha. even though we pointed out really, the Torah only lists 11 klalos here. There are 11 klalos. We know that the Gemara here says, we'll learn it out of a pasuk in a minute, that they started off with brachos and then said the klalos as well. It was the opposite. So then why did the Torah do it that way? Why did the Torah write in klala form? Why don't you give brachos? If the nation heard both, so why did the Torah parshas kisava, aror this, aror that? Why doesn't it say Baruch? Why only the Klalos are mentioned? No? Never thought of that, Kasha? Don't we want to be as positive outlook as possible? Why would we mention Klalos? So the Ben Yehoyada says, because in order to say that if we're saying a Klala, right, we're saying a Klala, and we're mashma the Bracha. Right? We say a Klala, we're mashma the Bracha. So if the Torah would have only said the Brachas, we have to be mashed with the klalos, right? So Ben Yehoyada says the Rishayim aren't interested in the yukim, right? So there's no mussar that they're going to take out of that. No, okay, you have to learn out. No, that doesn't appeal to them. All these answers are very similar. Another pshat that Ben Yehoyada says, when you're sitting there in shul and you're listening to the parsha, or you're standing there and you hear the klalos, much more stark, has much more of an impact on you when you hear it in that fashion. That's why it's much more wake up call, much bigger wake up call when it says it like that. I'm not trying to be negative. So trying to be a wake-up call. So those are two reasons why they're written this way. Yeah. Good question? Tanur Rabbanan. Baruch Biklal, Baruch, Biprat. We started off Baruch. We start off with this general statement. What's the general statement? The general statement is, could I look at it in Parshas Kisavo? Okay. The first one is Oru Isha Shayatze Pesel Masecha Tovas Hashem. The first one is Pesel Masecha. The last one is Oru Asha Loyakim Divya Torah Azos. That becomes the first one. The first one was his general statement about the Torah. Paschu, sorry. So again, Baruch Beklal, Baruch Beprat. Then we did each one individually. Oru Beklal, Oru Beprat. And we know from unrelated places that every mitzvah has four elements. Lilmod, to learn. Lilame, to teach. Lishmar, to guard. Lasos, to do. So every mitzvah has four elements. Harei, Arva. That's four ideas for each mitzvah. Arba va'arba. And then you have four for a bracha, four for a klala. Havishmona. That's eight. Shmona u'shmona, eight prat, and eight klal. Have sheshes rei, that's 16. So there are 16 bracha / 16, we're going to call it a bris. 16 brises, 16 brisos for each mitzvah in the Torah. Right? Because it's four for klal, four for prat. I'm sorry. Klal, prat, bracha, klala, and there's four elements of luma, lama, lishmor, lasos. That's four times four, that's 16. Why the Gemara has to say four and four and eight and eight? The Marsha has a whole discussion about that. Anyway, v'chein b'sinai, v'chein b'arvos moav. And that also existed in Sinai, where? It's a good question. And in arvos moav, and har grizman arevel, that's 16 times three, that's 48. Every mitzvah has 48 brachas, 48 brises, 48 brisos. Shenemar elu divrei habris asher tziv Hashem mitz Moshe. Uksiv u'shmartem es divrei habris hazos. Nimta memches brisos al kol mitzvah mitzvah. Every mitzvah comes with 48 brisos. Reb Shimon just says motzi hagrizin v'harevel. He takes out that one. Umachnis ohel moed, and he puts in ohel moed sheba midbar, that was in the midbar. Somehow he gets the Torah was repeated. Where are these places? Where is Ol Moed? Where is Har Sinai? Do a brachas that calls at Har Sinai? We're going to have half an answer in a few minutes. Ubepulta dahani tanoi, and there's a machlokas tanoim. We grew up learning only one half of this machlokas, but it's a machlokas. The Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, klalos nemru b'Sinai. The klalos, the general rules of mitzvos, were said at Har Sinai, upratos ba'ohel moed, and the pratim were then told over later, over the course of the 40 years. That to us is entirely foreign. We never heard such a shita. So Bishmol, the holy Bishmol. Rabbi Akiva Omer, everybody knows Rabbi Akiva. Klalos upratos nemru b'Sinai. Right? The first Rashi in Parshas Bahar. Why does it say Shmita Eitel Har Sinai? Everything was said at Har Sinai. Klalos, pratos, duke mitzvah, it was all said there. That's what Rabbi Akiva right here. Rabbi Akiva, right, when Rashi quotes it, he doesn't quote it as a machlokas. He doesn't say Rabbi Akiva Omer. He says it as if it's muskum, right? But it's a machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that. Of course, Rabbi Shmuel, why does it say Bahar Sinai by Shmita? I don't know. Let's go with my eye on that. But according to Rabbi Akiva, we know why. Because it all said there, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Klal su protos ne Rabbi Sinai, Vinishnu ba'ol moed, repeated at the ol moed, Vinishtal shalu ba'arvas moav. And it was said a third time in Parshas Devar, in Sefer Devarim. Ve'elachal kol davar mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuva b'Torah, and you don't have any mitzvah in the Torah, shelo nichmesu aleha arba'o shmona brisos. You don't have 48 brisos. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ako omer, b'shem Reb Shimon, ve'elachal mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuva b'Torah, you don't have a mitzvah, shelo nichmesu aleha arba'im u'shmona brisos, that has 48 brisos, shel sheish meos elef u'shloshes alafim v'chamesh mitzvah v'chamishim, that has 603,550. Why? Because that's how many Jews there were, and we know that Klal Yisrael were from Zelazah. So every mitzvah has 48 brisos times 603,000 because I'm responsible for every Jew's mitzvos. What about Noshim? It's a whole discussion if they're included in the Din of Ireveth. Big discussion. This Gemara seems to imply they're not. Whatever that means. We don't mean to say they're less, and they're, whatever that means, they're not here, because we only count the men. The Stama, however, there were 603,000 women as well. So just the simple arithmetic, simple nature, to pretty much 50-50. What about people over 60? They're also not on the Ravus. Why should that be? What about people between 13 and 20? They should also be. Right? So there's a special yichus that number has. 600,000 has a special yichus regarding. This is not halacha l'maaseh anyway. As we're going to say, Amar Rebbe, L'divrei Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Ishvar Akos Shenemar Mishum Rav Shimon Ein Lecha Kol Mitzvah U'Mitzvah Sheba Torah Shal Nichrusu Olah Arba'im U'Shmon Abrizan Shal Shosh Merz Elef Shosh Merz Elef V'Chamishim Eos Chamesh Merz V'Chamishim. According to him, that there are 48 times 603,550. Nimtza L'Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. It comes out that every Jew is Shesh Merz Elef U'Shlosh Merz Elef V'Chamesh Merz V'Chamishim. So the same thing again. So my Benayu, what did he just add? What did he just say? So the Gemara says, "Amar of Masharsha Arva va'Arva da Arva Ikub Benayu." How? I have a mitzvah of a Ravus. So I have 48 times 600,000. Now, do I also have everybody else's a Ravus? So I just took that number and I squared it. That's the machlokas. So according to Tosfos, he says, if you square it, you get to a number like 17 billion. Each mitzvah. Has 17 billion brisos with it. Because I'm responsible, I have 48 times 603,000, but now I'm also responsible for the fact that every Jew is responsible for me. So that's I square that over, and I get to some very high number of like, seven, I think it's 17 billion. The Mepharshim in the back here say, the number was 17 billion, but I didn't know how they got to it. Because they had 170 something. Tosfos says, the top Tosfos. It's a lot of numbers, I don't know what they mean. Second line, Ein Karas Aleha Tof Kuf Ayin Vav. That's 576. Know where that number comes from. Brisos, Shtemesre, Babaruch, Veloyadana, Amay Yudbe. I had a hard time figuring that out, but I saw on the back, the number's written in it, and it says 17 with like a lot of zeros after it, and 17 billion. So it's a big number. It's a big number. It's a big zechus. Torah was very, very kind to us. And we say it every time we finish off learning. Rabbi Chaim and Akasha Omer gives a lot of mitzvos. To give us a lot of merit. So we have 17 billion brisos, it's a lot of merit.
A lot of responsibility, right.
It's the glass half full or is it half empty, right? Okay, next. Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Achmeni, miturgumine de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kala parsha kulo, lo nemer ela b'noef b'noefes. It's very, very fascinating. All 11 klalos are about adultery. All of them. Taking a bribe is about adultery? Yes. They're all about adultery. But why? Why do you say that? Because the first one says, makes a pesel. So, is the getting a curse is good enough for you? You made an avodah zarah. Ella zeha ba'al ha'erva. It talks about someone who has an illegitimate child. Faholu ben has a son. Faholach leben ori kochavim. Where's that son going to go? He has nowhere to go. He has no one to marry. So they go off to derech and they go to idol worship. Faori kochavim va'ovel ori kochavim. Arur and over v'ivo. That he curses his parents. Shel zeh shekach gormelo. They caused it. And you go down the list of the curses. Aru makla over v'imo. Aru masik vul. Aru mashke iver baderech. Aru shokevim behema. It's all because there was adultery that was done. All this is about that. It's unbelievable. It's a fascinating part. It's not partial shot at all. So I mean, some ask, why? Assuming you don't hold like this part, so why were these 11 picked? Why would Dafka these 11? So someone said, the Rashbam, the Rishon, the Ebenezer, the same idea, because they are all done in secret. Most of them, almost all of them, are secret. They're all private things. So you get, you know, no one sees him, no Aegis, no Hasra, it's all Terutzim. But you know what? We don't prove. There's like extra emphasis about these that are specifically done generally in private. The Tver Sion says, because these are the most common pitfalls. Right? These are the most common pitfalls. Like cursing your parents. They are what they are, but they were singled out. The Rashbam says, the Ebenezer says, because they were in secret. There's hardly ever going to be Hasra for these. Tana Rabbanan. V'nasatis ha-bracha al-ha-gvizah v'zaklala. Ma Talmud Lomer, why does it say that? Im lil mochit tehei bracha al-ha-gvizah v'klala ha-reval. If that's the reason, k'rei k'var nemar. It already said. Eli yamdu l'varach es amal ha-gvizim. V'ksiv, eli yamdu al-ha-klala ha-reval. So why does it say it again? El l'hakdim bracha l'klala. You know what? To tell us that the brachas come first. Yachal yuhei kol brachas kademas l'klalos. I would think you list off, you rattle off all the brachas, then you rattle off all the klalas. No. Talmud lomar bracha uklala. Bracha akad achak, in other words, it would be the bracha about masik vul, the klala about masik vul. They would alternate. The ain kol brachas kodamas leklalas. Not all the brachas come first. U lahakish brachas leklala, lomalach ma klala belevim, just like a klala was said by the Levim, af bracha belevim. So too the brachas were said by the Levim. Ma klala bekol ram, so the klala was said in a loud voice, af bracha bekol ram. So to bracha was said in a loud voice. Ma klal b'lashon kodesh. The klal was said in lashon kodesh. Af bracha b'lashon kodesh. So to the klal, the bracha. Ma klal b'klal uprat. Just the klal was said. Klal, like a general statement about keeping the whole Torah, and then there were pratim. Af bracha b'klal uprat. So to the brachas was said in a klal uprat. Ma klal elu ve'elu onin amen. Onin ve'omim amen. Just like they everybody said yes, they agreed, they accepted it. Amen. Af bracha elu ve'elu onin ve'omim amen. So to by the brachas, everybody said, Amen. We have finished the Gemara about Har Grizim and Har Eval, and tomorrow we begin Birchas Kahanim. Right. Came full circle. Everybody have a good day.